Hello and welcome to the 29th episode of the Offseason Champions podcast. I'm Sean, and this is a podcast dedicated to the Washington Redskins. So the Redskins season ended December 29th, 2019. And in a matter of days from the final loss of the year, the team has a completely new power structure and is headed in a totally different trajectory. The most important move of all was the firing of team president Bruce Allen. Without this move, nothing else would have mattered. It would have all been the same outcome, as almost all problems spurred from Allen's shortcomings. The second most important move the Redskins will have made this offseason was the hiring of Ron Rivera as our new head coach. This move was not made hastily. It was not a decision where the owner just threw money at a big name coach to get him in the door. This move took months of research and careful planning on the owner's behalf. It all started with Dan Snyder, identifying what attributes winning teams share, determining why they were successful and how they were structured. He then identified who would be the best possible candidate to come into that structure, take control, completely overhaul the organization and the culture. After determining Ron Rivera was his ideal candidate and his top candidate, Snyder acted swiftly and spent a tremendous amount of time with him tediously going over every aspect of the organization and fully laying out his vision to return winning football to the Washington Redskins. After many meetings over several weeks, Snyder and Rivera agreed to terms on a 5-year contract to become the next head coach, allowing Rivera to be the centerpiece in a coach-centric organizational structure, with the authority to have final say in all decisions, despite Rivera claiming it will be a collaborative effort. Within days of Ron Rivera being named head coach, almost all of the existing coaching staff and training staff had been jettisoned, and new coaches began to be hired. Here we are, just weeks after the 2019 season has ended, and the organization looks completely different. From the very top down, almost every single position has been overhauled, and there are a lot of new faces in the building. There are some familiar faces in new positions too. One of the first hires was the most important pieces in this new coaching structure, Jack Del Rio, who will take over as defensive coordinator. On the opposite side of the ball, Scott Turner, son of Norv Turner, will take over as offensive coordinator. And returning from his first year as special teams coordinator, Nate Kaxer, one of two coaches retained from the old regime. Below the coordinators is a new group of coaches. Most are from Rivera's days as a Carolina Panther, and some are from elsewhere around the league. Let's get into all these changes. So since my last podcast, a lot has happened with this organization. There's been a lot of moves, and we're going to cover all of them. It all starts January 2nd, 2020. The Washington Redskins held a press conference, and Dan Snyder came out to announce the hiring of Ron Rivera as our next head coach. He started the press conference with a Happy Thanksgiving joke. It was a cryptic, weird moment referencing the Redskins playing Ron Rivera around Thanksgiving, beating them, and him losing his job shortly after. At the time, no one really knew what to make of it, but it was a joke nonetheless. Dan Snyder then went on to thank Bill Callahan for his time as interim head coach and moved into discussing the hiring of Ron Rivera. What's interesting is that Bruce Allen, who had been fired days before, is not mentioned once, other than really an offhand comment about changing culture and needing a change. When talking about Ron Rivera, Dan Snyder said he knows how to win as a player and as a coach. and that one thing was important. He wanted there to be one voice, and only one voice, the coach's voice. Snyder said, after several meetings with Coach Rivera, it was clear he is the right person to bring winning football back to Washington, D.C. He is widely respected around the league as a man of great integrity and has proven to be one of the finest coaches in the country. And with that, he handed it over to Ron Rivera, our new head coach. Rivera also started the press conference with a joke, saying that 30 days prior, the Redskins caused him to lose his job. But we're good now. He went on to comment that there are 32 head coaching spots in the NFL, and that the Redskins' job is special because of the history of this team, dating back to 1932. He said, in order to get back to where he wanted to be, we need to study that history, embrace that history, and repeat that history. If not, we're doomed to repeat the recent history. But he said, we're not going to do that. He said, everything we're going to do is about winning. We're going to do things the right way. That's the only way we're going to do them. If it doesn't help us, we're not going to do it. He went on to talk about why he chose the Redskins. He said it wasn't about the money. If it would be about the money, he would be pitting teams against each other to raise his value. He is here because Dan Snyder came to him with an interesting perspective. He said after doing weeks of research, Snyder determined why some teams win and why some teams don't. And he said the best plan forward for this organization is a coach-centered approach, not an owner-centered approach or team president or GM, a coach-centered approach. It's worked for the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Chiefs. And Rivera said he'd be honored to take it. He'd be honored to be at the center of that approach, but under one condition, that it also had to be a player-centered culture, something he truly believes in. He believes in the approach to teach players and to mentor them on and off the field. I have a quote from him. My responsibility is to get the most out of the players, to work with them, teach them, mentor them. If I have to do it one by one, I most certainly will do it. I've done it in the past, and I'll do it again. I'll do what I can to help these young men become not just the players we want, but the men in the community we need. The most important thing Rivera said he was looking for when picking a team was fit. He knew he wanted to get right back into coaching and that the Redskins were the best fit for what he was looking to do. He discussed one simple principle, discipline. It isn't taught, it's lived, and he's expecting it from every single person in that building day one. Everyone, coaches, players, employees, they will all know it day one, and they're going to hold each other accountable, and they're going to expect the most from each other. When he talked about success, he said success comes when players know what the coaches have, when players know that the coaches have their backs. And he will ask the players to do it the way that they teach them, the way that they're asked, and they'll be successful. He then went into talking about his coaching staff. He said he wanted to assemble a coaching staff that was dedicated to the players and that could be teachers. He doesn't need big names, but they need to be teachers on and off the field. In the players, he's looking for players who are tough, hungry, and willing to do whatever it takes to play Redskin football all year long. He wanted to work hand in hand with the head of player personnel who can spot potential. And when talking about decision making and who would have final say, he said it was going to be a collaboration. It's not going to be a one-man show. He's going to rely on the coaches and personnel around him. He doesn't want to go through a five-year rebuild. He expects results quickly. I mean, that to me means Dan Snyder's empowered him. They've given Ron Rivera the power to be the final say. He's saying it's going to be a collaborative effort because I truly believe that he will take all input and it will be a collaborative group effort. But when push comes to shove, make no mistake, this is Ron Rivera's show. When talking about players, he said the team has raw talent and quality leadership in their veterans. And that a team that he puts together is going to be made up of quality young football players and both solid veterans. He talked about some of his meetings with Dan Snyder, and he said that Dan wanted this to be Rivera's last coaching gig. He wanted him to retire from this team. At that point, he was fumbling around for a jersey, couldn't find one, picked up a helmet instead, and gave out his first HTTR Hail to the Redskins. He then went on to talk about collaboration a little bit more, how it's going to be key for this team, how everyone needs to be on the same page, everybody needs to be focused on what they're supposed to do. He said, I quote, "We need 11 guys doing one thing at a time, not just one guy trying to do all 11. Do your job, men, and we'll have success. I promise you that." He talked about the players and how the players were the most important part of this team. He's going to give them the opportunity to be put in a position for success. He talked about switching the defense to a 4-3, and he thinks that the players on the team fit the 4-3 scheme really well. He likes the line. He likes the OLBs. And he will move to DNs to line in a linebacker core. He wants the defense to be physical. One of my favorite lines from this press conference was, "We're going to play the run on the way to the quarterback." Rivera is a defensive-minded coach. And I think he is going to do wonders for this defense. I think he is going to get things out of these players that we haven't seen for the last decade. When asked about Haskins, he said he feels Haskins can be a franchise-style QB, but it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. They're working on a plan for his development, and they also have some good veterans that will be get some opportunities to play as well. He said Haskins needs to step up as a leader. He needs to prepare himself this offseason and be ready. They're looking for Haskins to take a big step this offseason. They're looking for him to become the leader that everyone said he needs to become, to step up and take this job. Then he went into discussing how the entire situation came to play. He said the week he was fired, Dan Snyder reached out to his agent. Then Dan Snyder reached out directly to Ron Rivera, and they spoke several times over the next week. At that time, Rivera watched 6 complete games and had notes on every single player from those games. He went back and talked to Dan Snyder about his vision and how he wants to get the Redskins football back and to get it to where the team used to be when they were great. He said Dan Snyder shared his plan with them, his approach. They said they spent 35 hours in a room together, just Ron Rivera and Dan Snyder, going over every aspect of this organization, the structure of what he's looking for, made sure Rivera understood his plan, and learned the process for how to make those changes. Ron Rivera said he believes in what Snyder has done to try and be successful, in what he is invested to give this team an edge. Ultimately, Rivera wants to win a Super Bowl. That's the only reason any head coach coaches is to win. He played on a Super Bowl team, and he wants to give that feeling to the players. He wants to give that experience. He understands that the fans are disgruntled and that they're upset, and that they deserve to be. The team hasn't won. He wants the fans to get behind the team and they're going to give them their best. When asked about his new defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio, and why it was important to lock him up so quickly, Rivera said that he knows who he is. He's competed against him. He has a tremendous amount of respect for him, but he's been successful in this league. He said about all his coordinators, he wants them to have experience. He wants them to have been there. Another quote he had was, "Don't draw me a map unless you've been there." He said, "To be successful, we need to make sure we have the right kind of players. We, as coaches, need to make sure we teach them and coach them up to the best of our abilities. Then we have to stay true to it. Stay true to this philosophy." His philosophy is this: the best team has a great sense of family. The best family has a great culture. And within culture, there's a tremendous character. And that's what we have to build. We have to build character. We have to build culture, have to build a team, and we have to build a family. If we can build that, we can win. So, I mean, I was floored after this press conference. I think Ron Rivera was one of the best candidates available this offseason. He said a lot of really great things during this press conference. He got me excited in a different way than I've been excited for this team in a long time. There's actual change. There's an actual leader who can change the culture, who can change the players, who can change this organization. I mean, it sounds like Rivera will have final say. It will be a collaboration, but everyone working together to pick the right players and to put them in the right position to be successful. When Ron Rivera was asked why he'll be different from all the other coaches that came before him, he said that he believes in him and that he'll bet on himself, but he'll see what happens. He said he'll work very hard, and he'll stay true to who he is. So, kudos to Dan Snyder. You know, he's taken a lot of heat, and rightfully so. These last 10 years under Bruce Allen, these last 20 years since he's bought the team, we've been mediocre. We've struggled. We've been unsuccessful. And ultimately, we haven't had much success at anything. But it sounds like he's finally done the research and invested the time and realized that he's part of the problem. He looked at winning organizations, determined a structure that worked, and is looking to replicate that here. He made a change mid-season, getting rid of Jay Gruden, and was able to identify Ron Rivera in season and very quickly hire him before any other team had hired a coach. Dan Snyder, for all the shortcomings that we've had to deal with over the last 20 years, especially the last 10 years, this was a great move on his behalf. He wants to win. I've gotten arguments with people when, you know, the entire fire Bruce Allen was going on and sell the team, Dan. People have to realize Dan Snyder is the owner of a billion-dollar organization, one of the 15 wealthiest sporting franchises in the entire world. Not just football, entire world. There is no incentive for Dan Snyder to leave. Dan Snyder is a competitor like everyone else. He's not just in this for the money. He wants to win. He desperately wants to win. He wants his legacy to be left with his team. He wants a Super Bowl. He wants many Super Bowls, but he wants to be remembered as a winning franchise and a winning owner. He's still a young man, in relative terms. He will be the owner of this franchise for a long time. And this is one of the first seasons, one of the first moves over the last 20 years as owner that I really feel like we're moving in the right direction. I really feel like this could be something really positive. So as much heat as Dan Snyder has gotten, and again, it's rightfully so, I think he's finally making the right decisions. I think he's finally got the right people in his ear working with him and advising him on how to become a winning organization. I talked in the past on this podcast about what I thought Dan Snyder needed to do, work with a group of advisors, come up with a plan, and discuss, have a collaborative effort on who to hire as head coach, as GM. And I feel like he's finally in that right mindset and making the right moves. So well done, Dan Snyder. This is the first step in a long road to becoming a successful franchise again. And I know there's no guarantee to Ron Rivera working out and this team winning, but this is a giant leap in the right direction. And if we can continue making moves like this, I really think it's going to benefit this team well. So I have some breakdowns on the coaching staff. I purposely waited this long to record this podcast so the Redskins could fulfill every single coaching position. And I wouldn't have any loose strings hanging out there, have to record another podcast to fill in the tight ends coach or offensive line coach. So let's get into top down. Our new head coach, Ron Rivera. As I said, he officially agreed to terms on a 5-year contract with the Redskins. He's been in the league a long time. He played college football at the University of California. He was an All-American linebacker. Rivera was selected in the second round of the 1984 draft by the Chicago Bears. And he was part of that 85 Bears Super Bowl team, which some rank that team as one of the NFL's best teams of all time, led by their defense. Rivera spent 9 years in the NFL with the Bears and retired in 1992. After a few years off, Ron Rivera started coaching in 1997. He joined the Bears as a defensive quality control coach. And a quality control coach is more or less where most people get their start. It's one of the lowest positions on the coaching staff, but it's a foot in the door. It's a way to get familiar with the system, familiar with the staff, and then move up. After 2 years with the Bears, Rivera moved on to the Eagles as a linebacker coach from 1999 to 2003. During that time, he worked with Andy Reid. From the Eagles, he moved back to the Bears as defensive coordinator from 2004 to 2006, working under Lovie Smith. In 2007, he moved to the San Diego Chargers and spent 1 year as a linebacker coach. Then, 2 years as a defensive coordinator while working with North Turner. And finally, he was hired by the Carolina Panthers as head coach in 2011, where he remained as head coach through 2019. While he was a head coach for the Panthers, he is their all-time winningest coach. He's a two-time NFL Coach of the Year, 2013 and 2015. He led the team to Super Bowl 50, which they lost to the Broncos. And this season, he was fired midway through the year because the new owner wanted a change and, well, he played the Redskins. Ron Rivera's career head coaching stats are 79, 67, and 1, which is a .541 percentage. I cannot say enough good things about Ron Rivera as head coach. Discipline is going to be a big part of how he runs this team. And I think we absolutely need it. I think a lot of the players are going to gravitate towards system like this, especially our players from Alabama who are used to a much more regimented, much more disciplined way of doing things. As I said before, I really think he's going to utilize these players to their strong suits and get the most out of them. I can't wait to see what he does. One of Ron Rivera's first hires was our new defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio. Jack Del Rio also played college football and baseball at USC. He was a four-year starter and another All-American linebacker. Del Rio was selected in the third round, 68th overall of the 1985 draft by the New Orleans Saints. He played 10 years in the NFL, playing for the Saints, Chiefs, Cowboys, Vikings, and Dolphins. And in 1997, he started coaching in the NFL for the Saints as an assistant strength and conditioning coach, hired by Mike Ditka. In 98, he moved to linebackers coach for the Saints. He then moved on to the Baltimore Ravens as linebacker coach from 1999 to 2001. Went to the Super Bowl 35, with that team, and won. In 2002, Del Rio moved to the Carolina Panthers as defensive coordinator. And then he was hired by Jacksonville Jaguars to be their head coach, where he stayed from 2003 to 2011. After leaving Jacksonville, he moved to Denver Broncos as defensive coordinator and eventually acted as an interim head coach for John Fox as he was dealing with some medical issues. After the 2014 season, he moved to the Oakland Raiders and became their head coach from 2015 to 2017. After his 2017 season, Rivera went into, I guess, the media side of things and has been an analyst and talking head on the NFL Network. Jack Del Rio's career stats as a head coach is 94-97, which is a .492 win percentage. Del Rio was interviewed this last week, and he had some pretty good comments, some good quotes. One of his quotes was, "Potential doesn't matter." He basically said that all great teams have great players. All teams in the NFL, rather, have great players. That every team is like a college all-star lineup. Everyone on an NFL team is the best of the best in college. It doesn't really matter, and it doesn't really amount to much. To him, it's more about what he can get done and the work that they're willing to put in. Jack Del Rio discussed control of the defense, and he said it will be his show. But he plans on working together hand-in-hand with Ron Rivera, getting input, and would like to have the coach in as much as he feels he needs to be. He feels one of the biggest areas of concern that this team should have on the defense was their communication, or lack thereof. He said that that is one of the most important areas that needs improvement. As he was studying tape, he saw a lot of issues with communication at the line, players not being set, not everyone on the same page, and that is something he's going to address immediately. And my favorite line from his press conference was, "We'll respect everyone, but we'll fear no one." He is a bad man, and I cannot wait to see what Jack Del Rio does with this defense. After years of dealing with Minuski and just the mediocrity that we've squeezed out of this defense, anyone who doesn't realize that Minuski was a big problem for this team is blind. They went out of their way to try and replace him last year. No one took the job. No one wanted to stick themselves with Jay Gruden in the sinking ship. And, you know, these players, I don't think they respected Minuski. I don't think they really respected many people on this coaching staff that we had before. I'm looking forward to seeing what Jack Del Rio does with this team, with these defensive players, with the talent we have and that we will be getting this offseason. It's going to be refreshing to see a change as a whole, but especially on the defensive side of the ball. As I said earlier, Rivera and Del Rio are looking to move to a 4-3 defense. I think that's going to benefit a lot of people on this team, on this defense. It's going to keep our linemen, our D tackles, and D line. It's going to keep them fresh. We have some really good depth there. It's going to play Kerrigan and Sweat and Chase Young and Casanova McKenzie and all of our outside linebackers that move to D end. It's going to benefit them greatly. I can't tell you how many times Montez Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan were dropping into coverage when their knuckles should be in the dirt and they should be getting after the quarterback. I think a 4-3 defense is really going to suit this team well. And that's where Rivera had success while he was in Carolina. I know he moved to the 3-4 later in his career, and it didn't really pan out. But I think it's going to be great for this team. So Jack Del Rio, one of the first hires announced by this new coaching staff. And, I mean, what a great defensive coordinator to have under our new head coach. Opposite side of the ball, our new offensive coordinator, Scott Turner. Scott Turner, son of North Turner, not a ton of experience, but he started coaching career at the high school level and the college level from 2005 to 2010. In 2005, he was a graduate assistant with Oregon State Beavers. In 2006 to 2007, he was the head coach of a high school team. 2008 and 2009, he was an offensive assistant at Pitt. In 2010, he moved to a wide receivers coach at Pitt. And in 2011, he started his coaching career in the NFL. He started with the Carolina Panthers in 2011 to 2012 as an offensive quality control coach. 2013, he moved to the Cleveland Browns as a wide receivers coach. And then he moved to the Minnesota Vikings as a quarterbacks coach. From there, he went back to college as an offensive assistant in 2017 for the Michigan Wolverines. Then he went back to the NFL as a quarterbacks coach for the Panthers from 2018 into last season. When Ron Rivera was fired, North Turner was moved up, and Scott Turner was also moved up to interim offensive coordinator and QB coach. Obviously, Scott Turner is the son of North Turner, former Redskin head coach, Raiders head coach, Chargers head coach, and offensive coordinator for the Panthers, Vikings, Browns, 49ers, Dolphins, Cowboys, and USC. Again, North Turner coached for the Redskins for close to 8-9 years. Had some really good success and was the first head coach firing of Dan Snyder when he bought the team. North had Scott Turner with him while he was a head coach. He's bounced around the league a lot, but he's one of the most respected guys in the league as well. And if any of that is rubbed off on Scott Turner, I think he's poised for some success. I know this isn't a popular hire by the team. I think a lot of people were really expecting Kevin O'Connell to get the job. And in reports this week, it sounds like Scott Turner beat Kevin O'Connell out for this job. And Kevin O'Connell is no longer with the organization. He was hired by Sean McVay to become offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams. And Scott Turner will be our new offensive coordinator. In an interview, Turner said that he's excited to be back. He was 11 years old when his father started coaching for the Skins. He said that when he interviewed, he said he was the coaching staff's fit. He said when interviewed, the coaching staff said that it would fit the offensive scheme to the player personnel, and that he wants to build around the player's strengths. He said that Dwayne Haskins, to him, has to be the most committed guy in the building. When he was in Carolina, he evaluated Haskins and that he believes he could be a really good football player with more experience. But he wants him to lead by example, to be the first guy in and the last guy out, and to know the offense better than anybody. He wants to know the offense. He wants Haskins to know the offense like a coach and to present it that way on the field. Obviously, as offensive coordinator, Scott Turner is going to be working hand in hand with Dwayne Haskins, and it's going to be his job to make sure that he is ready to be successful in this league, to continue the development that Kevin O'Connell has started, and to work with him to get him where we all expect him to be. Again, Scott Turner doesn't have a tremendous amount of experience in the league as a coordinator, as a play caller, but he did get some experience, some valuable experience at the end of last year, and I think he's going to be aggressive in his play calling. I think there's going to be a lot of what works for Dwayne Haskins, what worked for him in college, the checking down, the screen passes, the sweeps. I think it's going to be a lot of quick reads, get the ball out of his hand, and allow the receivers to do what they need to do. Obviously, a big need for this team is going to be tight end in that kind of offense. And I think the team is going to go big in free agency and get themselves one to two tight ends, if not in the free agency, in the draft. When asked about how Turner feels the offense is going to operate, he said that Rivero has allowed him to operate independently and to operate freely. He said there will be transparency. I'll be in charge of putting together the game plan with our offensive staff, and he's going to be focused on being the head coach, as well as being a little bit more involved and focused on the defense. But we'll talk every step. And considering that most of the new staff is from Carolina, there's a level of comfort with everyone, and there's respect amongst each other on the staff. Again, Turner called plays for several weeks to finish the 2019 season, and I think he had some success, especially considering he was playing with a second or third string quarterback. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. As I mentioned earlier, Kevin O'Connell interviewed twice for this job, and ultimately the team went with Turner. They thought he was a better fit. You know, a lot of people would have liked Kevin O'Connell to have stayed in some capacity to work with Dwayne Haskins and continue that continuity. Honestly, I'm fine with him moving on. I'm fine with the team moving on. I was critical with Kevin O'Connell's at certain points last year. I think everyone who said, you know, he's a guaranteed lock as our next head coach, I think would have been setting ourselves up for failure. I think we would have been setting ourselves up for just continued mediocrity. And I'm sure one day Kevin O'Connell will be a great coach in this league. And working under Sean McVay, he's going to get a shot sooner than later. But I didn't see it. It's Kevin O'Connell's job as offensive coordinator to get this team ready. And I understand Jay Gruden had a lot of say, and he was doing the play calling, and they didn't believe in Haskins, or he didn't believe in Haskins when they signed him this offseason because Haskins wouldn't help him save his job. But I just didn't see enough. I mean, this team ranked last in a lot of categories, but especially in passing. And, you know, I just did not see enough from Kevin O'Connell to warrant him getting a higher position here. And if he didn't win the job out against Scott Turner, then I'm really interested to see what Scott Turner can do with this offense. The only other name that was really brought up more than once during the interview process was Pat Shurmur, the former Giants head coach. But apparently he turned down the position because of, I guess, issues with hiring of the subordinates on his staff. And obviously Ron Rivera having a larger say in who he wants in the organization and who he wants on his staff. So Scott Turner, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. He is a... Well, what do you say about Scott Turner? He is the son of a legend in this league. And North Turner has had great success. I hope some of it is rubbed off. I have high hopes for what he can do with this young offensive side of the ball. And I hope they can all continue to grow and develop as a group. And yeah, it should be interesting to see what he can do. Rounding out our coordinators is Nate Katzer. This is his second year as the Redskins special teams coordinator. He's one of two carryover hires from the old regime. Nate Katzer spent 13 seasons coaching in the NFL. Prior to working in the NFL, he spent 17 years working in the NCAA at Idaho, Nebraska. He worked with the Jaguars as an assistant special teams coach in 2008 to 2011. Moved to offensive line coach for the Titans in 2012. Spent a season with the Titans as a special teams coordinator in 2013 through 2015. And then three seasons with the Buccaneers as special teams coordinator from 2015 to 2018. He's the only returning coordinator retained by the team. And after 1 year, Jamie Gruden in the same position, he's the only one to keep his job on the special teams coaching side of the ball. He's really one of the only carryovers from the Bruce Allen era as well, considering he is a former Buccaneer. But I think the team had some decent success on special teams last year, and you know, we'll see how this year goes. One of the other big changes this offseason was the firing of the head athletic trainer, Larry Hess. Larry Hess had been with the team for 17 years, and I don't think anyone isn't aware of the issues that this team has had with injuries. Over the past 3 years, they've been in the mid-20s on players that finished the season on the IR. And honestly, Trent Williams was very outspoken with the training staff. And I think it was time for a change. Larry Hess, 17 years with the team, obviously very close with Dan Snyder, very close with Bruce Allen, and a change was needed. I think it's obvious to everyone. And days after the team fired Larry Hess, they announced the new hiring of Ryan Vermillion. He is a longtime Panther athletic trainer, one of the most respected and seasoned head trainers in the league with 18 years experience with that team. And 25 years experience throughout the NFL. Has familiarity with Rivera. He actually worked the Redskins one season and then 9 seasons with the Dolphins under Don Shula. And then the rest of his time he was with the Carolina Panthers. Dan Snyder put out a comment that Ryan Vermillion is one of the most respected and seasoned head athletic trainers in the NFL. His 25 years plus in the NFL of experience and his familiarity with Coach Rivera has made him the perfect fit for our organization. Ron Rivera said, "For many years, I've seen firsthand the positive impact that Ryan has on a team. His primary focus has always been the health of the players, and he's going to be a tremendous addition to this Redskins team." And Dr. James Andrews, one of the most respected voices in the entire NFL, said that the Washington Redskins are very fortunate to be able to add Ryan Vermillion to our training staff. He's one of the most valued and senior athletic trainers in the NFL. His experience in the field brings our medical team to the highest level and furthers our goals of being the best in the NFL. With the Verein Vermilion hire, the team also announced the hiring of Dr. Kevin Wilk as a medical consultant reporting directly to Vermilion. When talking about Wilk, Dan Snyder said, "Dr. Kevin Wilk is one of the most established and successful physical therapists in our industry. He has worked with some of the greatest athletes in sports and has known Ryan Vermilion for years. He is a great addition to our medical staff and will be a tremendous asset to our players." Ron Rivera said that Kevin is one of the most respected physical therapists in the world of sports. His addition to our organization will be extremely beneficial to our players and will take our medical staff to the next level. And Ryan Vermilion said, "I've known Dr. Kevin Wilkes for more than 30 years, and his work speaks for itself. He will be an invaluable part of this operation, providing our staff consultation on athletic performance and rehabilitation. Our goal is to be the best athletic training staff in the professional sports, and Kevin will help us achieve that." On top of those two additions, the team also announced the hiring of Brett Nannenberg as Director of Athletic Performance. He's got a master's degree in exercise and wellness, a graduate assistant strength and conditioning coach at Arizona State University, and from 2013 to 2019, he was the athletic performance analyst and assistant strength and conditioning coach. So that rounds out the coordinators and our new medical staff and training staff. Big changes. Obviously, a lot of big changes. So rounding out the rest of our offensive coaching staff, our new quarterbacks coach is Ken Zampese. He's been coaching since 1990. He was coached as a wide receiver coach, offense coordinator, quarterbacks coach, and passing game coordinator at Northern Arizona and Miami. He started coaching as an offensive assistant in 1998 for the Eagles, then the Packers, and then the Rams. In 2002, he was a passing game coordinator for the Rams. In 2003 to 2015, he was the quarterback coach for the Bengals. And then again in 2018, he was a coach for the Browns. More recently, he was an offensive coordinator for the Bengals in 2016 and 2017, and then moved to the AAF this last season for their short stint as a league. For the Atlanta Legends. He's got a lot of experience as a quarterback's coach. A lot of time with the Bengals. And some people are saying that he alone is the reason that Baker Mayfield was so successful his rookie year. And after he left, the QB just wasn't the same. He's highly regarded around the league. And, I think he's going to have some really, really big success with Dwayne Haskins. I think the upside to Dwayne is much bigger than probably anyone he's coached in the past. And he's got experience. He's got a lot of accolades. I think if Freddie Kitchens wasn't named head coach this season for the Browns, Zampese, could have had continued success, and that Browns team could have looked a lot different this year. He's probably, after Scott Turner, one of the most important hires that this team has made, because it will directly affect the production and development of Dwayne Haskins. Next is our offensive line coach, John Matsko. He is an old school coach who's been coaching since 1974. He coached in college as an offensive line coach for Miami, North Carolina, Navy, Arizona, and USC. He was an offensive coordinator for USC for 2 years in 89 and 91. And in 1992, he moved to the NFL as an offensive line coach, starting with the Cardinals, 2 years there, then moved to the Saints, Giants. He was with the Rams from 1999 to 2005, then the Chiefs, the Ravens, and then the Panthers in 2011 to 2019. He's worked with Ron Rivera the entire time he's been a head coach. He has been his offensive line coach, and now he's moved here. Another old school, no nonsense kind of guy. We'll see how this offensive line works underneath him. We have a lot of moves we need to make this offseason to tighten up that line and get these players back. But this is a well-respected guy around the league as well, and he's had some success in the past. One of the only other hires that this Redskins organization retained from the old regime was running backs coach Randy Jordan. He was a player, went undrafted in 1993 and played for the Raiders from 93 and then again in 98 to 2002. He also played on the Jaguars. He started his coaching career in the NFL in 2003 as a Raiders assistant coach. Then he coached in college as a running backs coach for Nebraska from 2004 to 2007, Texas A&M from 2008 to 2011, North Carolina, and he's been with the Redskins since 2014 to present. Again, he is one of two coaches that was retained from the old regime, and once we can get Geis up and healthy, I think he will have a tremendous effect on him. And keep in mind, we also have Bryce Love, a former Heisman candidate, coming off of an injury, and he really is going to be an X factor for this team next season. But we'll get into that at a later date. The team also hired a new wide receivers coach, Jim Hostler. He has been coaching since 1990. He started coaching the NFL in 2000. He was an offensive quality control coach for the Chiefs. He was a QB coach for the Jets, the Niners. During his time with the Niners, he worked with Alex Smith his first season in 2005. In 2007, he became the offensive coordinator for the 49ers. And then he was a wide receivers coach for the Jets, the Ravens, the Colts, and eventually the Panthers. He's also had time as a tight ends coach, and in 2018 he spent time as a passing game coordinator for the Packers. So he's got a pretty diverse resume, but he has had success. I mean, he's coached Sammy Watkins, T.Y. Hilton, Devontae Adams, and all of those players have had success over the last couple years. So we'll see what he can do with the young receiving core that we have, and whoever else we add this offseason. The team also announced the hiring of Pete Honer as tight ends coach. He started coaching in 1977. He bounced between offensive line, tight end coach, and offensive coordinator at several different colleges. Illinois, Indiana, Purdue, TCU, Iowa State, and Texas A&M. And he started coaching in the NFL in 2001. He was an offensive line coach for the Cardinals in 2003 and the Bears in 2004, and then a tight ends coach for the Cardinals in 2001, San Francisco from 2005 to 2010, and the Panthers from 2011 to 2019. Rounding out our offensive side of the ball, we have an assistant wide receivers coach, Drew Terrell. He played wide receiver for Stanford for 4 years. And then 3 years, he was the offensive assistant coach at the University of Michigan from 2015 to 2017. The last 2 years, he was a Panthers offensive quality control coach. And basically, his responsibilities were, you know, breaking down opponents' game film, presenting analysis to identify opponents' tendencies, and to assist in the offensive coaching staff with their game prep. The team also announced on the offensive side, assistant to the offensive line, Travell Wharton. He was drafted by the Panthers in 2004, third round, 94th overall, to play left guard and left tackle out of South Carolina. He played for the Panthers from 2004 to 2011. In 2013, he played, 2012, he played for the Bengals and then went back to the Panthers for 2013. In 2015, he was hired by South Carolina to be their offensive line coach. And in 2018 to present, he was hired by the Panthers to be their offensive line coach before moving to the Redskins this offseason. So, I mean, as you can tell, there has been significant hires on this side of the ball. And a lot of them are from the Panthers. Ron Rivera is very comfortable with his former coaching staff, and he went heavy with hiring Panthers personnel. A lot of these guys have been in the league a long time. A lot of them have had success with Ron Rivera in the past. And for everyone saying there's too many players coming out of, or I'm sorry, too many coaches coming out of Carolina, I mean, if the alternative is to just keep coaches from the Redskins or try and poach coaches from other teams, you know, if a coach is playing, if a coach has a job right now and he's coaching, he's not looking to leave. Ron Rivera has had success with these guys. This Redskins team was 3-13 last year. I mean, a change is absolutely necessary. I think we have to put the bias that all these guys are coming from the Panthers aside and look at it as these guys are coming into a new experience with a head coach that they're familiar with. Yes, it's a new place, but it'll be a familiar system for them. So the continuity will be there. The learning curve won't be as great. Hopefully it benefits everyone. Let's move on to the defensive side. Let's start with our defensive line coach, Sam Mills III. He started with the Panthers in 2006 as their strength and conditioning coach, as well as a defensive assistant. From 2007 to 2010, he was a defensive quality control coach, and from 2010 to 2018, he was the assistant D-line coach. For the last two seasons, he's been the defensive line coach for the Panthers. Obviously, he has a lot of familiarity with Ron Rivera, and they'll just have continued success and continuity working with the Redskins. Moving to linebackers coach, we have Steve Russ. He played linebacker in college for Air Force. He was drafted by the Denver Broncos and played for them in 1997 to 2000. He was a linebackers and defensive coach in college for 16 years, various positions coaching, coach for Ohio, Syracuse, Wake Forest, and Air Force. He's been with the Panthers for the last 2 years, 2018 to 2019, as their linebackers coach. And he's had success with Luke Kuechly and Shaq Thompson, both playing under him, playing well, having great success. And I think linebacker is going to be a position as we move to the 4-3 where we need someone with some experience and someone who's had success. And it'll be interesting to see what he can do with the talent we have in our linebacking core. We have Reuben Foster coming back, Cole Holcomb. Hopefully we retain John Bostic. And we'll see what the team does in free agency and in the draft. A lot of really good talent coming out of the college this year. Moving on to our defensive backs coach, we have Chris Harris. He was a sixth-round pick in 2005 and played safety for the Bears, Panthers, Lions, and Jaguars from 2005 to 2012. He was hired by the Bears in spent 2 years as their defensive quality control coach. And then he moved to the Chargers, where he was an assistant defensive backs coach for 3 years. He is one of two defensive coaches that are not coming from the Panthers. I'm moving to our assistant DBs coach, Richard Rodgers, who will be heading up safeties. He, again, was formerly with the Panthers. He spent 3 years as an assistant defensive backs and safeties coach there. He also spent 2 years as a defensive backs coach and spent some time as a special teams coach. I'm not sure in what capacity. The second DBs coach, which we'll focus on the nickel, is Brent Weiselmeyer. He is an Oakland Raiders assistant linebackers coach from 2015 to 2016 and their safeties coach from 2017 to 2018. Obviously, he worked with Jack Del Rio in Oakland. He also was an offensive analyst for the Kansas City Jayhawks in 2018 and worked as a head coach for the Santa Margarita Catholic High School in 2019. That rounds out the defensive coaches, and there's also a few other offensive and defensive and special teams assistants. Assistant special teams coach Ben Jacobs. He was a undrafted free agent in 2011. He played linebacker in the league for 7 years with the Browns, Bengals, and 6 years with the Panthers. Ron Rivera actually personally asked him to transition from a player to a coach, and he was with the Panthers as a coach, as an assistant special teams coach. Offensive quality control coach, Luke Del Rio. He's the son of Jack Del Rio. He played college football as a quarterback and finished his career at Florida State from 2013 to 2017. He moved to coaching in 2019. He was a tight ends coach at Santa Margarita High School, worked with Brent Weiselmeyer. This is his first gig in the NFL, and it's with the Redskins. Obviously on the same team as his father, just on the different side of the ball. Another offensive quality control, Todd Storm. He played off a defensive end in college for Michigan Tech, and this is his third year in the NFL. And the final coaching hire for this team, defensive quality control coach, Vincent Rivera. He is Ron Rivera's nephew, and he spent the last two seasons with the Panthers as a defensive quality control coach. Again, his job is to break down game film, analyze opponents' tendencies, and assist in game planning. So that rounds out our complete coaching staff changes. As I've mentioned several times, only two coaches were retained from the last regime. A lot of new coaches coming in from the Carolina Panthers. And ultimately, you know, Ron Rivera is the captain of the ship, and he knows what he's looking for. He's had success with these guys in the past, and he's going to bring continuity with this coaching staff and this personnel in Washington. There wasn't only changes on the coaching staff. As great and as sweeping as the changes I've gone over have been, there was some significant changes in the front office. You know, it was mentioned that Dan Snyder spent a significant amount of time with Rick Smith, the former Texans GM, over several days in the Bahamas. They met several times on his yacht, and a lot of people believe that that is part of where Dan Snyder developed his vision on an organizational rebuild, and then he was an integral part in kind of guiding Dan Snyder in the right direction and discussing the game plan for hiring Ron Rivera. It's been said that this team at this moment in time is going to wait at least until after the draft to hire a GM. And given some of the other changes that have taken place in the front office, they might not bring a GM in at all. When talking about possible GM candidates, I mentioned in the past, there's been a few names that keep popping up. I don't know if it's just smoke, but obviously Lewis Riddick, one of the biggest names popping up. Morocco Brown, another guy who has been getting a lot of mentions as a possible candidate. And finally, Joe Schoen, the Bills assistant GM, who's got a lot of ties to this organization and the coaching staff and has had great success in Buffalo turning an organization around in a matter of years. This team will wait to hire a GM or not hire one at all until after the draft. You know, when I first heard that game plan, I wasn't necessarily a big fan of it. You would think that as a new GM coming in, you would want to kind of put your stamp on the newest draft. You would want to be involved and have a say in what players are going to be in this building while you are a part of the organization. But the more I think about it, the more I read, I also understand Ron Rivera wanting to have complete control. And with some of the other changes that were made in the front office, possibly a GM not even being required based off of how some of these people perform, maybe they just want to see what the scouting and player personnel departments, what they can bring over the next couple months leading up to the draft before they make a final decision on whether a general manager is necessary. You know, there were some other additional changes that were made. Maybe they're looking for someone to work hand-in-hand with the football and the executive side of the offices. I guess time will tell. But at the moment, no GM was named. One of the biggest surprises coming out of this offseason, other than Bruce Allen being fired, was the team releasing Eric Schaefer. Schaefer was, I believe, a vice president of this team and the team's counsel, legal counsel. Yeah, he had been with the team a long time. And I think he had high hopes. I think he probably had envisions of all these changes taking place and maybe being moved up to GM. And I think he's looking for that role somewhere in the NFL. I'm not sure if he'll get it. He's another guy who, you know, I think like Kevin O'Connell, who's expecting a bigger role. And when he didn't get that, you know, I'm sure it didn't sit well. The team's moving in a different direction, and he's another guy who might be successful elsewhere, and he might not. But he is no longer with the team, and that is one of the biggest shakeups in the front office. Obviously, again, after Bruce Allen being released. He was a cornerstone of that front office for a long time, and this team is not against making any shakeups. I said it one time in the last couple weeks, no one in this organization should feel safe because there are a lot of changes taking place, and there is a new sheriff in town, and nostalgia won't get you anywhere. No matter how long you've been with this organization, if you don't buy in day one, you're out. The team brought in Rob Rogers in his place to replace Eric Schaefer, a longtime Carolina Panthers executive, and again, a longtime advocate and friend of Ron Rivera, someone he's very, very, very comfortable with. And it'll be interesting to see what happens when the Panthers continue to make their organizational changes and if their GM is moved out, if he finds a home here as well. One of the other big news items from the front office shakeup, Kyle Smith was promoted to vice president of player personnel. He is in his 11th season with this team, and I mean, he has been phenomenal over the past couple years. He has drafted really, really well over the last 3 years. And presumably that was while handcuffed by Bruce Allen and all decisions coming down from him. So this is a huge jump up for Kyle Smith. Vice President of Player Personnel, he's not only going to be responsible for the draft, he's going to be responsible for free agency and identifying every player that this team pursues. He is one of these people that are in prime position to keep this team from hiring a GM. If he has continued success in the draft, if he has success in free agency, and the team that he builds succeeds and does well, you know, this is really his job for the taking. So this is a big jump up for him, and it couldn't happen to a better guy. I think he is the mastermind behind a lot of success that this team has had in identifying and acquiring players. Unfortunately, that has not correlated to success on the field, but again, that's due largely to coaching inefficiencies and other things. I've said for a long time, and I know I go back and forth on it, I think this team has a tremendous amount of talent. It's just underutilized talent. So as long as he keeps providing that talent, I think Rivera and the rest of the coaching staff is going to mold them into what we need them to be. Under Kyle Smith, Tim Gribble was promoted to Director of College Scouting. He takes over for Kyle Smith after his promotion. He's been with the Redskins for 19 years, and he will now oversee the team's evaluation of college talent and manage all collegiate scouting throughout the country. So when Kyle Smith was moved up for Vice President of Player Personnel, obviously that was Doug Williams' position in the past. Doug Williams was reassigned to Senior Vice President of Player Development. This move probably needed to happen, as Doug is a very important part of this franchise, a figurehead, but I think he's in a position now that he's going to be able to help the existing players a great deal. Ron Rivera said about the move, "Doug will be an invaluable asset in player development in making sure that all of our players have the guidance and resources needed to be successful on and off the field." So it's a position that plays to Doug Williams' strengths, working with these players, helping guide them and mentoring them and teaching them, and keeps him happy, keeps him in the franchise, and in a less vital role to the development of the team as we make player moves in the next couple weeks. And the only other notable front office item I want to discuss is Malcolm Blacken. He was promoted to Senior Director of Player Development. He will work alongside Doug Williams. And help on the personnel side of things. So, I mean, that is a lot of shakeups in this organization. We have an entire new coaching staff, sans two coaches. We have shakeups in the front office with longtime executives being released, with trainers being replaced and a new training staff coming in. I can't say enough. I mean, this team was 3-13 last year. We've had mediocrity over the last decade, really. While Jay Gruden was here, we had some 9-7 seasons. We had some 7-9 seasons. But it all amounted to nothing. We haven't had a playoff win in 14 years, 12 or 14 years. It's time to get past the idea of making these small changes, and I don't want to call it a complete rebuild because we don't know what's going to happen with the players yet, but I mean, we are in somewhat of a rebuild. We have a new coach. We have two new coordinators. We have new front office executives. In a matter of weeks, we are going to have big changes coming to these players. And I'm fine with it. I am always optimistic about what this team does. And we were making small changes for the longest time. And a small assistant coach here, or maybe a new coordinator here, there. But we haven't had sweeping changes like this and a coach like Ron Rivera in a long, long time. And I am extremely optimistic about what comes next for this team. Most importantly, I'm just looking forward to something different. I feel like we've been, you know, I wasn't crazy about the Jay Gruden hire. I understand he was a great coordinator, and I think everyone expected him to be the next big thing, and he just wasn't it. And for the last couple of years, we've been running in place on a treadmill, and it just, we're not getting any further. We have good years, we have bad years, and we just were so mediocre. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what this new coaching staff can do, what they can instill in these players. And Ron Rivera said it during his press conference, you know, this is his second go-around, and the nice part about a second go-around is you know a lot more than when you started. A lot of coaches have had great success on their second go-around as a head coach. And for a new coach to come in with Super Bowl experience, with Coach of the Year experience, and with a philosophy in changing the culture and making this team more disciplined and challenging these players from day one, I am excited to see what he can do, what he can bring to this team. There is a bright future ahead for this organization. And in the NFC East alone, two other teams are going through the same thing with changing coaching staffs. And we are prime for success over the next couple of years. I really think that this team is building towards something great. In talking about additional news in the NFL, there are several new head coaches that were hired around the league this offseason, and it's not even offseason yet, as we still have the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. But notably, all the available head coaching positions have been filled. Obviously, Washington Redskins have hired Ron Rivera. The Dallas Cowboys have hired Mike McCarthy. The New York Giants have hired Joe Judge. And if you don't know who that is, you're not alone. I don't think anyone in the NFL knew him. He was the former Patriots special teams assistant and coordinator and wide receivers coach. He was also an Alabama special teams assistant coach. And he's now the head coach of the New York Giants, Joe Judge. The Carolina Panthers have hired Matt Rhule, the Baylor head coach, who was rumored to be heading to New York. The owner of the Panthers basically got him in his house, started negotiating, and wouldn't let him leave until he got hired. That'll be an interesting thing to watch, to see what he does in Carolina at the NFL level. It should be interesting to see. And finally, the Cleveland Browns hired Kevin Stefanski, the former Minnesota offensive coordinator. There's also been some other moves around the league, coordinators being released. Notably, Jay Gruden wasn't without a job for long. It was announced today that he has been hired as the Jacksonville Jaguars' new offensive coordinator. And Bill Callahan was announced today to be the offensive line coach for the Cleveland Browns. So add Kevin O'Connell as the new offensive coordinator for the Rams, and our coaches are moving onward and laterally. I was going to go into some of the players that have declared for the draft, but at this point, I'm sure you guys are not as interested ahead that as I would have imagined. I plan on doing several podcasts about free agency and the upcoming draft, but obviously the big names everyone is, I'm sure, aware of. College football champion Joe Burrow, quarterback for LSU, has declared. Chase Young, potentially our next draft pick, the number one overall prospect in the NFL draft for this season, and Tua Tagovailoa, whatever it's, however you say his last name, just three names I'm going to throw out there that have declared for the draft. I think January 17th was the last day that players in the NCAA were eligible to declare for the draft. Anything from now on will have to go into the supplemental draft if people come out. Again, I will do a complete breakdown of the draft, the prospective players. We have a long couple months of not a lot of news coming out. And we'll cover everything I can between now and the free agency period and between now and the draft. I plan on talking about a lot of players and seeing who this team can actually pick up. Last thing I want to talk about is the Super Bowl. Last championships games were played this weekend, the AFC and NFC championship games. Kansas City Chiefs came back and beat the Tennessee Titans, bringing them to their first Super Bowl in 50 years. Kudos to Brett Veach, the GM of the Chiefs, someone who's been instrumental in acquiring talent and getting that team to be very successful over the last few years. And in the NFC Championship game, the San Francisco 49ers trounced the Green Bay Packers, shutting down Aaron Rodgers and moving themselves to the Super Bowl. My Super Bowl prediction, I got the Kansas City Chiefs. I think their defense is going to be very stout on that tough Niners running game. I think they're going to force Jimmy Garoppolo to put the ball on his hands and the game on his shoulders, and I don't think he's going to be ready to live up to that moment. And more importantly than any of that, Patrick Mahomes is arguably the best quarterback in the entire league, and he's got some really talented weapons on that offense. Obviously, I've said it earlier, I think the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year, and we'll see how that goes. As always, I would like to thank each and every one of you guys for listening. It has been an interesting season. I started this podcast at the beginning of last offseason, right around free agency, and we had an interesting year. I had high hope for this team, and I was sorely let down. The name sticks true. We were offseason champions yet again. And we are having a tremendous offseason so far from 2019 into 2020. New head coach in Ron Rivera, complete new coaching staff, front office shakeup, the firing of Bruce Allen. We have a phenomenal future ahead of us. The future is bright. I'm very excited for what comes next with this team, and I can look forward to covering every bit of it with you guys. I truly hope you guys are enjoying what I'm doing here on this podcast. It is an absolute labor of love, and I enjoy doing it. If you are not already, please subscribe, tell a friend, another Redskin fan, spread the word. And if you like the show, by all means, please leave a rating, 5-star, leave a review if you're inclined and so inclined, and if you have time. Anything you can do to help support the podcast would be greatly appreciated. It just helps reach a wider audience. If you guys are on Twitter, follow me at HTTRChamps. Let me know what you think. Again, thank you for your support. Till next time.